Our title for tonight is God Provides That Which the Family Needs to Fulfill His Purpose. God provides that which the family needs to fulfill His purpose. And as we've been dealing with these passages in the book of Exodus for the last few weeks, we've gone through a multiplicity of the things that is contained in the scripture dealing with children of Israel. And in dealing and having those things that the children of Israel are looking at, we've seen that God has been faithful. And up until now, we just assumed, having maybe read the passages before, that they were faithful. But let's look and see if the faithfulness of God is enough to take care of everything, or is the faithfulness of man enjoined? What kind of helped me determine how we're going to deal with this passage tonight is I was dealing with a pastor of a church yesterday, and he was telling me that Philippians chapter 1 and 6, where it talks about the one that has started a work in you will perform it at the day of Christ. And because of that conversation I had with him, I'm going to deal with that scripture. I'm going to do a polemic. I'm going to do a contra against what was said that passage means. But I looked up some words on that passage, and that passage is talking about furnishing some things and equipping some things. Yet, that passage, if what it was saying, according to what I hear taught, is true, then God should have been able to finish the tabernacle without the help of those people. Well, let's roll back to where we are and I kind of give you an idea of why I'm going to teach from this perspective tonight. It's not that I'm stretching it. It's there. But I want us to have it more relevant to today. The 30th verse says, of the 39th chapter of the book of Exodus. Are you going to read to me, Precious? It's Exodus chapter 39, 32. Well, it says, and they made a plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it, upon it, the writing like unto the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And since nothing inside of the temple or the tabernacle is going to work in of itself, God is not even going to just work in there in of himself. He has a particular person, a vassal, that's in charge there that he's going to allow to perform the ceremonies, especially the atonement that's going to be given on the Day of Atonement, which is the high priest. He must wear that on his head when he serves God. Holiness to the Lord. Well, they said they tied it unto a lace of blue and fastened high upon the mitre as the Lord commanded Moses. I submit to you that these people have everything that's necessary for them to complete the job that has to be completed because God had provided these things for them. Now, look at the passage. We have a man that's going to be served. We know that it's Aaron. We've covered this. And he is separated to God and for God, and that emblem on his head is a representation of that. But the Bible says no matter how Aaron is performing, no matter what Aaron's garment is, it was never of Aaron by himself. It was a commandment of God. Now roll with me into verse 32. We're going to move a little quickly now. So if you've been walking with me thus far, we're going to see that God provides everything that these people need. Everything, their family, that they may be able to serve him acceptably. Okay, here we go. Verse 33. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses and the tent and all his furniture, his tacks, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets. Notice, and they brought the tabernacle. What I'm going to do is, because some of these words are a little different, I'm going to go ahead and read it in another version where it calls those tacks and things more what we'd be used to calling it on an everyday basis. Let me see which version I want to use. I want to use the New Living Translation for that. So one click, I'll be there. We're there. It says, and they brought the entire tabernacle to Moses, the sacred tent, the tabernacle, with all of the furnishing. There are things that goes inside the tabernacle. Remember, I said that what made me kind of think in this vein yesterday when people says that chapter 1 and 6 Philippians, that God will perform it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, just look at God's pattern here. They brought it. They brought the sacred tent that they made with all of the furnishings that they put together with God, giving them the spirit to do it. The clasps which will hold the curtains together, the frames that will support the curtains, the crossbars that go in the middle of the frames that hold up everything, Rudy. They have 5 bars that go across, 2 up high, 2 down low, and 1 in the middle, so that it will be supported. It was made that way. And then it says the post and the bases that they set upon. It says the tent, the covering. Now, the tent has coverings of tan ram skin and fine goat hair leather, and the inner curtain to the shield of the ark. Ram skin dyed red, we would call it in the King James Version. Mm-hmm. It had different layers that went on there for protection, and the colors had representation of things with blood. It had things that represent glory, and on the outside, it didn't even look like that much. Verse 35, well, I want to hit 34 again. The coverings of the tan ram skin and the fine goatskin leather, the inner curtain to shield the ark. The inner curtain separated the holiest of holies, but it also was a protection for the ark when they carried it. But God provided it. But God didn't do it. What do you mean, Tim? Those people had a ministry that they came up with. What was the ministry that they came up with, Rudy? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked these magnificent questions. When they got all of the gold and silver and the different things from Egypt, when God allowed them to have that, God knew what he had planned. But the people willingly gave. They participated in a grace that God had. And they gave that which God had given them and instructed them what they would need. And they gave that. And so what ended up happening is God provided through them. God saw to it, but they had a part to play. So for an individual to ever think that it's all of God and none of you, that's not his pattern. You would think that his pattern here would be the pattern that you draw from continually. I know they don't usually have a problem. People don't have a problem when they want to take an offering using this pattern or Nehemiah's wall. Read some more of the Word of God, Tim. Verse 35, it says, the Ark of the Covenant and its poles and its carrying poles. What I'm laying out here is that God provided what they needed to have worship, that they would be a family that would be able to come into his presence, that they could move it around without being harmed. Because he had a certain place that the Spirit had to go. But in order for an individual to move God's things around like he wants to, they have to be holy, and it has to be done the right way. Yet, it's still of God. They didn't come up with how to carry it. He did. But the thing that's acceptable is when they do it. Read some more, Tim. And it says, verse 35 again, the Ark of the Covenant is carrying poles, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement. That's called the mercy seat in King James. The mercy seat is the place of judgment as well as the place of forgiveness. The judgment is that animal's blood that represented the people is put there, but the forgiveness is that the people were accepted. It's accepted, but it's God that provided it. So how is it that if we think about God's word, when we come to what is called our lives in this 21st century, that which God has started, he'll see to it to the day of Christ, not without our help. Not without our help, and it will not be by ourselves. It will be a collaborative effort. Look at how particular he is. Verse 36. The table and all its utensils, the bread of presence, that bread of presence that would go on that table, the pure gold lampstand and the symmetrical lamp cups and all of its accessories, and the olive oil for lighting, the golden altar, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense. Now think about this. With everything that had to be done in that sanctuary, they got to provide it for them to have service. They're getting rid of the ashes. They have the basin to pour the blood to show the judgment was done. to have the bread of presence, so that that the bread of life, those people that would be the bread to the world, that the world should feed off of those priests. It's there. The lamp, the one lamp that God has had. When I'm saying the lampstand, but it had more lamps on it than the one lampstand. Even down to the oil for lighting. Everything that was needed was added. What do you mean? Well, you told them first to have an altar. You added the altar. You added a laver. After he added a laver, he added a curtain. When he added the curtain, he added the bread of presence. Then he added the incense. Then he added the lampstand. Then he added the veil. Then he added the mercy seat. Then he added the Ark of the Covenant. Everything that was added down to the tax, we've gone to that, the holy things, the rings, the bases, the stands, the rods, everything that they needed as a family to come to God acceptably, he provided, yet they had a major integral part. How dare we feel that today, that in order for us to come into God's presence, that God will provide for us everything that we need to come to him acceptably, and we have nothing to do. How dare we think that God changes that much when the things that were written before were written so that we would have the opportunity to understand his ways. Read some more, Tim. Verse number 38 again. The gold altar, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. The curtain of the incense, I'm sorry, the curtain for the entrance of the sacred tent, the bronze altar, and the bronze grating for his carrying poles and utensils, and the wash basin with the stand. Do you notice the way that this is rolling backwards? We're coming out from the presence of God back to the place where you enter in. So much so that verse 39 says, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, that's on the outside, the post and its bases, and the curtains for the entrance of the courtyard. Look how far more we go out. Then the ropes and the tent pegs, all the furnishings to be used in the worship at the tabernacle. All of the things from the holiest of holies, the ark, the cherubim, the mercy seat, the different things that were covered up, the tent things. Then we come to the holy place. We take the best of the furnishings out of that. We're coming backwards, showing that everything from the presence of God to where you come to the entrance is still being provided for him by him to serve acceptably. But every piece mattered. Every piece mattered. But that matters to us. We'll see. I'm not through. The Bible says, I want to hit this last part of the 40th verse, so that's very important again. The ropes and the tent pegs, all the furnishings to be used in worship, to acknowledge him as his sovereignty, to acknowledge him as the one that's in charge, to acknowledge him as the one whose presence as a family you need to come before and worship. These things were provided for him so that you could serve him acceptably. Yes, we realize he provided, but you did too. It's collaborative. We have a life that we must live. We have something that we must do. And for an individual or any group of people to ever feel that God has done everything and there's nothing for us, that's against his pattern. That's against his way. Verse 41, the beautifully stitched garments for the priest. The beautifully stitched garments for the priest to wear while ministering in the holy place. I want us to just think just for a slight second. What's the big deal about you coming out with everything that's needed in the tabernacle? Now you're going to what the priests have to wear. I submit to you that one of the things that we need to understand is that although the tabernacle may be perfect, although the tabernacle may be set, in order for these people to come before God's presence, although he's provided everything for them to serve acceptably, they have to be ready. They have to be right. And in order for them to be right, it's the same thing again. He starts that work in them. He starts it by telling Moses what to give them. He starts that work in them by showing them what needs to be done. He provides it, but they have a work to do. How is it again, and I'm saying this again for a reason, that we as people in this 21st century think that if God comes up with a plan and we know what the plan is, if we agree with it, that's all it takes. We have nothing to do. Well, these men not only had the things ready, they had to be dressed properly, which is a type and a figure of having their heart right. Well, it says they ministered in the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for himself, I'm sorry, for his sons to wear as they minister as priests. The Bible says that we that follow God, those of us who know God, we are supposed to be priests to God for the people, or priests for God to the people. I think I like saying it better that way. But I believe that God starts this work whenever he touches your heart. I believe that God not only touches your heart because he wants to deal with you, but do you accept? Do you prepare yourself? Do you take the things that God has given you and use them for him so that you may serve him acceptably? Or do you feel that because I've come to God, made a prayer, or that I've been around an assembly, I'm good enough? If you do, then you're not serving him acceptably, and your building is not erected. Like he said, I'll prove it. Verse 42 says, for the people of Israel followed all of the Lord's instruction to Moses. I submit to you that if anybody thinks that serving God is acceptably, feeling that God has provided everything and there's nothing you should do and you can just serve him acceptably that way, you missed the point. The people of Israel, that verb there, followed all of the Lord's instruction. That means they obeyed. The provision that was given was taken by them, and they followed the instruction. They put every piece by piece and added piece by piece till it was done. Then verse 43 says, then Moses inspected all of their work. When he had found it, it had been done just like the Lord had commanded him, and he blessed them. Now I like that. Why do I like that? It reminds me of when the Bible says God had created his world. And he looked at all that the Lord had made. And God saw that it was good. It was very good. Moses no doubt inspected everything on each of the seven pieces of things that were inside of the tabernacle. You have 7 days when God saw everything was good. You had seven separate things of furnishing that was in there that God had allowed these people to have. And God is the one that instigated. I will never take that from that. God is the one that provided. Yet they provided too. God is the one that gave the ability. Yet they brought ability too because they were subject. And the point that is being made is that they added everything together. And when Moses saw that it had been put and properly used, nothing left out, the people had something that was indistinguishable. I mean, it was distinguishable from everything else. It was right for them to have, and it made it where they could enter, or God's presence would come with them, and they could enter into the presence of God. Why am I making such a big to-do? Why am I making such a fuss over this? I was reading the Bible, and I found something in the Bible that made me feel good about that. Because I wanted to find out, Lord, in looking at this passage, what can we get from that that would help us today? And if you will just look with me and bear with me just a second, I think you might see something that you'll say, wow, this is right there, just like it was in the Bible whenever they did the tabernacle. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and just taste this as I follow through. Simon Peter, servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is 2 Peter 2 and 1, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's where we start. 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The blessing that Peter is trying to bless on the gift of these people, he says grace and peace. Grace, as I've explained it so many times, is when God's favor comes upon you, he gives you the warning of what he will do to the disobedient, when he gives you the empowerment to do what that he wants you to do in order to be able to come into his presence. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now, if you think about what God did with those people in the tabernacle, everything that they had, there was a multiplicity of things that they had to do and that they had to make. But who gave it to them? God. And it says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Think about Bezaleel. Bezaleel did not have all that power of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to do that till God gave it to him. Mm-hmm. Listen to verse 3. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Well, somebody said, Tim, I don't understand how you could take this verse and apply it to them bringing all of the things from the tabernacle together. Let me explain. In order for that family to be able to come into God's presence and serve him acceptably, their tabernacle had to be right. Their clothing had to be right. And God is the one that started the work with them, but God is the one that took them to the end. But they had a part to play. Had they left anything out, they wouldn't have been acceptable. Here it said, for us, this is for us. Peter's writing to those people then, by extension is to us. He's given them everything that pertains to life and godliness. All you'd have to do is say he gave them the gold when they came out of Egypt, the silver, the badger skin, etc. It said he has called us to glory and virtue. He called them to the place where his spirit would come and dwell with them, where the Shekinah glory would be there, where they would be in the absolute presence of God so that the world would fear them. He did that. Verse 4, look at what it says. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. For those people, all of the things that we just read that they brought, what was given to them were exceeding great and precious promises. He didn't just give them a tabernacle. He gave a covenant to them. He said, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will make you a royal priesthood. And in order for you to be a royal priesthood, you've got to have a king. I'm going to be your king. You're going to be a priesthood. You got to have a God. And if you're going to serve in my house as my servants as king, as my servants as the royal priesthood, then I need a house that's acceptable for a king. It's not what you think, it's what I think. And so God gave them everything that they could be partakers of the divine service, having escaped the corruption that was in the world through evil desires. They came out of Egypt. Now they're going to be going into Canaan. They're in a place where people have turned their back on God after the flood. Yet, when they get around him in that tabernacle, when they all around each side, east, north, west, and what's the other direction? North, east, south, and west is easy for me to say. They have escaped the corruption of the world because they have focused on him. Verse number 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Well, somebody said, why didn't you go through and explain all of these things? I just want you to see that they had things that they had to add for the tabernacle. They had to add an altar. They had to add the grates. They had to add the utensils. They had to have the laver. The laver had to have the foot. We have to, the feet, there's his foot. And you had to have a curtain. Then you had to have the three things that go on the inside. What's that, Rudy? The bread of presence. They had to have the incense, altar, and the lampstand. Then they had to have the veil. Then inside of the veil, the Ark of the Covenant. Then they had to have the angels that covered over the mercy seat. Here they have things that they had to add. I'm submitting to you, they had physical things that they needed to add and not have any missing, so that they would be able to serve God acceptably and be able to be in his presence as a family to do his will. But the thing is that the thing that prompted me to teach from this vein of thought was that passage that people use in Philippians 1 and 6. That he has begun a good work, will perform it. Well, here he's given all these things. He gave them all those things in the tabernacle. But we know that if they had left something out of the tabernacle, they would have thwarted the plan of God in their lives. God still would have been God. God still would have had a tabernacle, Rudy, because this was a replica of that which was in heaven. If we decide, well, you know, if I add to my faith virtue, that ought to be enough. Why I got to add knowledge? I got the spirit. That's what some people say when you tell them they need to learn. You got the spirit. Well, what about temperance? Well, you know, if I don't have temperance and I don't have patience or anything like that, I'm still going to be godly. Well, not so according to this passage. Well, what if I got all that and I just don't want to have brotherly kindness? You know, I just don't like people that much. Then you are erecting a structure in your life. You are erecting something in your family that is not going to allow you to serve God or come before Him acceptably. Oh, you may come before God and say, well, nobody's ever get everything just right. Why? Have you known everybody? Do you know everybody now? Do you know everybody that will be? Just because you don't want to do and submit to God's will, that does not mean that there's not going to be somebody that wants to take what God has given them and present it back to God. That's what the wave offering was. We hadn't talked about a wave offering, but there is a thing called a wave offering. And I used to think of them waving it like you do a flag. But it's more of lifting it up like you're throwing it up into heaven and you're bringing it back down. But since you're not strong enough to throw it up into heaven, you lift it up a little bit and then you let it back down like you've given it to God and that He's given it back to you. That's what you're doing with your life. You're lifting your life up to God, and when it comes back down for you to walk on the earth, you should be a walking tabernacle. I'm going to prove it. Now, verse 7 says, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Charity is, we're talking about love. Somebody may say, "Tim, why don't you go through and explain all this real hard?" I said, "We've already taught this. It's on the podcast. But I need us to see parallels when they're there in the scripture." Verse 8 says, If these, the one that I just read, be in you and abound. Not just, you just barely got a taste of brotherly kindness. You can be kind to the one that's been kind to you. Mm-mm. And abound. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's something that's amazing. When we realize we want to come into the presence of God and we want to serve God acceptably, when you want to serve God acceptably, what you have to understand is that we need to understand He wants us to be fruitful. The reason for coming into that presence, the reason for being in the tabernacle was so that they could be right, so that they could be fruitful in the land and be a priest to Him, a nation of priests, and teach God's standards to an ungodly world. But how can you teach God's standard if you don't know it? Yet we have a multiplicity of people that feel like because I read the word, I got the knowledge of God. Oh, no, you don't just know God's doctrine because you read it. Jesus said, if you do what I say, you'll know the doctrine. But how do you know to do what He said unless you read it and somebody teach it to you? So there's a double force. You learn it and you do it. That's how you know it. But verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his own sin, from his old sins, his own too. But the Bible says, verse 10, wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. Here, the point that I'm going to show you in the parallel, if you lack any of those things, if they lacked any of those things in the tabernacle, they would have been blind. What do I mean by blind? Not that they couldn't see how to walk, but they would have been blinded from God's presence. God would not have shown Himself. He would not have allowed them to have His presence. They would not be able to come before Him acceptably as a family, as an individual. They would not have, because they would have altered God's standard of what's necessary to make a complete tabernacle. These people, even before Jesus came in the flesh, were able to fulfill what He said to the letter. What about us with the Spirit? And He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Were they not called to build the tabernacle? Weren't they elected to erect it? They were called, they were elected, and they made it sure. How do you know, Tim? You weren't there. The Bible says Moses inspected it, saw that it was what it was supposed to be, and he blessed them. And look at what the benefit was at the time for them. When we get to chapter 40, we're going to see God's presence is going to come. Mm-hmm. Well, look at what the benefit for us if we add the things that God has for us that he's provided. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the parallel that I see. That's the parallel that I wanted to present. They're not just building a tabernacle and we look at it and say, oh yeah, they built it and they brought it, yeah, and Moses blessed them, and we get nothing. What we need to see is that there is something that we get. What we need to see is there's a blessing for us to do things acceptably to God. Look at what it says in verse number 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance, though you knew these things, remembrance of these things, though you knew them, and be established in present truth. They needed to be established in the truth that this is what's needed. They need to be established that these garments that we read at the last part of chapter 39 are sacred. They need to be established that when you do what God say, although he starts and he begins it, he'll furnish you what you need. That's what it was talking about in that 1 and 6 Philippians I was talking about. But you still have something you have to do, and you have to do it acceptably. Somebody, if they ever read Leviticus 10 and 10, that corresponds to what we're reading here in Exodus, they will find that when the priests, Nadab and Abihu, went before God and served him unacceptably, God struck them dead. When somebody said, well, he was mean in the Old Testament. Do you realize that many people can be walking around spiritually dead now? Adam walked around a long time before he died physically. Once you're not serving God acceptably and not in his presence, you are dead. You are dead. And you better pray to God that he grants you repentance. Well, the last two verses that I want to show on this is, Peter says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things in remembrance. I think I want you to just kind of look at his last two little things right here. Peter is saying, I got to put off this tabernacle. Verse 13, I don't know how I skipped it, but I know I knew I skipped something that bothered me. I'm going to read it again. You're going to be established in present truth. 13, yea, as long as it is meet, and as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you to remembrance, that knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. This is the thing that he wanted them after he died to always have in remembrance. The point that I wanted to make right here is that Peter sees his own body as a tabernacle. Peter sees that after I die, you need to take care of your tabernacle. There are things that are needed in your tabernacle, your body, your life, your family, the family collectively of God. It's three levels, Rudy. You, your individual family, and your corporate family when you all come together as an assembly. I need you all to put these things in remembrance. What things? Everything that I told you to add. Everything that I told you to have abounding in you. So that your spiritual house, your tabernacle, your body will be one that when I said I want you to have grace and peace, that'll be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God because he's provided everything that you need. Lastly, they had a tabernacle. They completed it. God's presence was there. They were allowed to serve God acceptably. We have a tabernacle. Are we going to allow God to let us furnish it? What do you mean, let us furnish it? He provides everything. He tells us how to furnish it. Are we going to take the knowledge that he gives us to furnish it like he wants it done so that we can serve him acceptably, so that we can come into his presence and be what he would have us to be? If we do those things, we can be beneficial to the world. We can be beneficial to ourselves. We can be beneficial to our families. If we don't, we're just playing games. And God will judge us on a higher level than those that don't know. We have been called. We have been elected. We have been chosen to do his will and to do his work. It is not optional. Those that don't want to do his will, those that don't want to do his work, those that think that it's not important, God has something for them. This is not play. This is serious business. It was serious business for them in the wilderness to do God's will. It was serious business for them to do what God said. And they didn't choose God. God chose them. And yet when they failed, many of them were damned. They were doomed. They were destroyed because they did not do like God said. And how dare we think that the Holy Spirit has come. God give us a record of his track record of how he dealt with them with the symbolic tabernacle that symbolized heaven, the symbolic tabernacle that represent what we as people are supposed to do with our bodies. And we're going to take God serious, not seriously. We just think we're going to enter to his presence and do like we want to? I submit to you that God will strike many a man dead because they play with him. And they don't take him like he's supposed to be. They think that when it's come time for the things of God, it is optional. It was not optional for them to build that tabernacle once God has said, this is what I want. It is not optional for us. If we determine that we don't want to do what God said and everything that's necessary to build our lives the way God wants the lives built, it's imperative that we live a life acceptable to him, that we can come into his presence and be what he would have us to be. This is where we stand, and this is what I want us to get from that passage tonight. Merciful Savior, I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your glory. I ask you with all my might that you would take us and help us to have the mindset to know that you provided many things for us and that we need to serve you acceptably. Help us have the mindset to realize this is not something that we play with, because if we lack these things, any of them, we're going to be blind and we can't see afar off. And we miss the entrance of being into your eternal kingdom. We've come too far to lose it now. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus, the magnificent Christ. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.